Welcome to In the Frame, an exciting new podcast series where we're delighted to be touring the UK, meeting business leaders, and taking a look at the big picture of what makes businesses tick. I'm Paul Kempster.
And I'm Andrea DeLay. And together we co-head the mid-corporate business for Barclays, as well as being co-hosts for this podcast series.
Welcome to our latest In the Frame podcast. And today I'm in Redditch and delighted to be joined by Stephen Cartledge, who is the Managing Director of Lake Chemicals and Minerals. I'm also joined by Ross Veal, who is the Corporate Relationship Director for Barclays locally. So welcome, gents, and thank you very much for your time today. Really looking forward to the conversation and getting some insights, mainly around the topic of managing growth and building teams for growth in successful businesses. And Stephen, if I may, I'm just going to start with yourself and ask you what the big picture is of your business.
Hi, Paul. It's a real pleasure to host you here today at Lake. Our business is in chemical distribution. So the sector is a 2 billion sector of companies that are importing and selling chemicals and ingredients into UK industry. The business model is very basic. We employ a technical sales force who understand the customer's applications. They also understand the raw materials and ingredients of the suppliers. Our supplier partners are based all over the world. We bring those products into the UK, put them into a warehouse, and when our technical sales team have been successful, then we deliver out those products into the customers in the United Kingdom and Ireland. I would say that in addition to that technical sales force, being an industry that is highly regulated in the chemical industry, we have support teams in quality, regulatory, environmental health and safety that are fundamental to the trust that is delivered to the customer and the supplier.
Thank you, Stephen, for that big picture overview. And I have to say, it sounds like a lot of moving parts. It's pretty complex. It's a big global business, and particularly the supply chain, actually. You sort of touch on suppliers there. And I know from your own business that you talk about having ultimate customer value in your business, which I believe is around the transparency of the suppliers and with customers as well. Maybe just talk to us a bit more about the importance of the suppliers in your overall operation.
Suppliers to us are the god of the business, because without suppliers, our business just simply does not exist. We rely on suppliers to be able to give us the raw materials and ingredients that our customers desire. So suppliers are very important to us. We have this adage that many in the industry do, that the customer is king, but the supplier is God. So being given the world of the supplier, these people, these companies, they are situated all over the world. The suppliers that we have come from the Americas, they come from Japan, China, India, many countries in Europe. And so, yeah, they're very important to us because they give us the basic ability to be able to trade.
I think, you know, that careful relationship and in-depth understanding with your suppliers is critical to growth, I guess, and the success of the business over the years. Just pivoting just for a moment, with a globalized supply chain, many people will be thinking about how did you manage through the events of the last few years, COVID, etc. Did that impact your supplier relationships and the supply that was coming through? And if so, how did you navigate that as a business and continue to achieve success?
Well, during COVID, certainly in the first months of COVID, as we were running into lockdown, the world stood still. Luckily, many of the transport facilities that were needed to bring in container shipments into the UK continued. So stock was not so much of an issue until, of course, then factories started closing down and manufacturing started disappearing around the world. So the relationship with the supplier relies on Lake and companies like us to represent them in the United Kingdom. And therefore, the relationship with the supplier, if anything, became stronger. The challenge, of course, was at the other end, was with the customer who either inevitably had too much stock because they weren't manufacturing anymore, or they didn't have enough stock because they were trying to create COVID vaccines or medical tests for COVID. And so you had quite a different point of view depending on who you were talking to, either the supplier or the customer.
It was quite a complex supply chain, wasn't it? Because I know you end up using air freight to get some products into the UK.
It was mad, simply because, you know, we're a specialty company. We are not a commodity trader. It takes generally from the minute you walk into a potential customer to the time that you make a sale, anything from 1 to 3, 4, 5 years. Our longest sale, I think, is probably about 11 years. And once that product is specified into the formulation, it's very difficult for the customer to change. And therefore, you get these repeat sales. In order to make the repeat sales, you have to have the stock. If you don't have the stock, then you can't deliver to the customer. And therefore, keeping the customer whole is incredibly important to our reputation. And therefore, during COVID, you're quite right, Ross. We were shipping in product in container loads coming in air traffic through Heathrow and East Midlands. And we were moving it as fast as possible to the customer site because some of these industries in the UK were still open. They were still working. They had to continue. And therefore, maintaining the supply chain was incredibly important. And yeah, you move heaven and earth with your suppliers, with the logistics companies, in order to make sure that your customer gets the deliveries that they desperately need.
I think that's a great point, actually, Ross. And let's stay on the subject of suppliers, if we may, Stephen, for a moment. And it's really interesting to hear what's been happening in the last few years with those challenges to make sure that the business continues to navigate, to prosper, to plot its way through, I guess, to continued success. But could I take you back maybe a number of years to when the business started and talk to us a little bit about how did the business start on that journey of establishing maybe the first few supplier relationships? There's a long period of time to achieve the sale to the customer. You know, what sort of challenges and considerations did you have as a management team then? And what did success look like? What did you think it was going to look like when you first started out?
When we started the business, I luckily had behind me a career in the global chemical industry. And the training that I had been given and the experiences that I had in working in research and development, in technical sales, in working in global project management, and then latterly in manufacturing, and having these responsibilities and experiences provided the basis for Lake Chemicals and Minerals. I worked in a number of countries around the world, Germany, America, Switzerland, and I decided, and I tell a little bit of a white lie there because I didn't decide. It was my wife that decided that she was fed up of traveling around the world and looking after the children in different countries and in different schools. So we came back to the UK and I luckily got involved in chemical distribution and that business was sold on. I then became free and was able to start Lake Chemicals and Minerals. I found a group of people, which is what we call our LEL group, which are sister companies throughout Europe. And I was able to find partners, shareholders who had gone through this journey themselves and therefore were able to advise me and support me in setting up the business in the UK. When that happened, we needed to employ 2, 3, 4 people with good technical knowledge and knowledge of the market in order to attract suppliers. And no matter how many introductions that you get from your colleagues, friends of potential suppliers, when you sit in front of the supplier and they rely on you for their bread and butter in the United Kingdom, then you have to prove to them that you can do the job. And in order to do that, you need a team around you. So we were lucky enough to hire and find people that could help us start the business. And we attracted the first 1-2 suppliers that gave us some existing sales. Our first year of sales in 2003 was about £250,000. So that helped us to start the business. And from then on in, the ball started rolling, or should I say, we started running, and we've been running ever since.
Thank you for taking us back to that early days, I guess, Stephen. And many congratulations on 20 years of trading in Lake and in the business. That's a great success story. And you started to touch on the importance of teams there, which I think is really interesting. And the formation of the first team to really get the business going, the trust that was needed to be engendered with the suppliers. Over the period of the last 20 years, what sort of changes have you seen or had to make to the team and expanding the team again and again, potentially, to get to the current position of success?
Well, as a technical sales company, the most important teams are the technical sales teams. And finding those people who understand what it is like to work in a business that is growing has been very difficult. It's easy to find somebody who can sell, easy to find somebody who works for a chemical manufacturer who can sell, but finding somebody who can sell in a distribution company is far more difficult, because rather than having that one product line, you may have 2, 3, 4, or 5 product lines from 5 different suppliers around the world. And therefore, it just takes a higher level of engagement and competence in order to be working in this industry in sales. We are a sales company. However, over the years, we've invested and had to invest in a number of support services. And therefore, the first team that came in was the technical sales team. That is our pride and joy, and that is what we try to develop continually over the years. In order to make the sales, though, you need a business services team in order to do all the logistics. You need that quality regulatory team, what we call our CRESH team, in order to be able to substantiate the sales and answer all of the legal questions of the suppliers and the customers. And then over the years, we have added additional teams. We have an innovation team that was brought in latterly and a manufacturing services team. We have a marketing insights and communications team. And all of this job that is done now by 70 plus people in the company was done by 3, 4, or 5 of us at the very beginning. So whatever team you have when you're starting a business, you absolutely must be agile. You must be ready to learn lots of different trades that you never dreamed that you would have to learn. Google is wonderful. The age of Google in the early 2000s was brilliant to help us to learn very quickly. And of course, you have your shareholders and your suppliers who you can fall back on. They're all part of the team.
I think they're fantastic bits of advice, Stephen, because many businesses who are smaller than your own business out there listening will be potentially facing that same challenge of, where do I find the skilled people I need to actually enable the growth and the success? And Ross, maybe if I can just turn to you and bring you in your own perspective when you go out and you spend time with your clients in various industries. I think it's fair to say access to skilled resource is a common challenge for management teams. Any sort of views from yourself about top tips for management teams to access the right teams for growth?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real struggle for all clients across all sectors, and been even more so probably in recent times, recruiting good people into roles. So, you know, I know a lot of clients are looking internally and how they develop their own staff and bring them along on that journey, which again has its own challenges. I mean, Stephen, from your original sort of 3, 4 of you, have they carried on within the business along the 20-year timeline?
So at our recent 20-year anniversary, we have a number of people who have been in the business for 20 years, 18 years, 15 years. The challenge in a growing business and in a business that is entrepreneurial is finding like-minded people. That is a real challenge. Finding people who want to take on the task of developing something from nothing. Many people are capable of coming into an existing business and taking it to the next step, or managing the business for profit. But to truly develop a business from zero, from nothing, from a blank piece of paper, that tasks everybody. And you have to be very direct, because you don't have the time. So you need to create profit. You have to have open relationships, and you need people who are absolutely resilient to this environment. And of course, finding those people is a real struggle. And post-COVID is an absolute struggle for everybody in many different industries. But once again, in the chemical distribution industry, not only do you need to be technical, you need to be sales, you need to be able to manage a wide variety of product lines and a wide variety of customers. We're operating in markets that are industrial, so paints, coatings, industrial fluids, plastics, polymers. And we're also operating in the life sciences industries, pharmaceuticals, food, nutrition, personal care. And to try and find experts in that business to come and join you over the years, it is a major struggle.
I think that's really interesting to hear, Stephen. I would agree, mindset is everything when you're looking to build a team for growth. What is striking me a little bit, and be interested in your insights, your experience on this, is when you're looking to hire that right person for the business in whichever specialist team it might be, and making sure it's the right person for the business to grow, it's true in life that either people come along too late or they come along too early. So you talked about being agile in business, the importance of agility, really, when you're growing a business. Have you experienced that yourself when you're making those hiring decisions? For example, having to invest more than you wanted to because there were two or three people available at that time that you really wanted for the business, or the reverse problem where you've had to be patient and actually delay the plans for sales slightly because you haven't got the access to the right people?
Well, Paul, you go to the nub of the problem for a growing distribution business. If you don't have any salespeople, you're not going to attract any suppliers. You then inevitably attract too many suppliers, so you don't have enough salespeople. The gestation period of a sale is 1 to 3 years, so you have to be thinking 3 years in advance. There is always a gap between the resource capability and the return on investment. It is difficult to be able to find the experts that we need at any particular time. If a chemical distributor does not have the technical sales force, then they're answerable to the supplier, and the supplier has an annual budget that they need to meet. So we don't have the joy of waiting 3, 6, 9, 12 months in order to find somebody to fulfill the needs that that supplier gives. So we have to be agile. We have to be able to jump into different roles within the business from a sales perspective. And at times, you do have to make more investment than you really want to in people, knowing that it's probably going to take you a year to get them up to the stage where they can be independent and understand how to operate, how Lake operates in the marketplace. We have always tried to learn. We have had some really good, and one particular company that we work with for our hiring needs, who comes from the distribution industry, and they understand our needs. And that has really helped us to focus in on the candidates that have been good for our business. In recent years, as we have gained a little bit more cash and competence, we have invested in a people success team, and now we have a very sophisticated understanding and methodology of hiring people into the business. And it is, I would say, our greatest strength, finding the right people and then inducting them into the business and training them is a clear strength of the company. We are developing a very sophisticated learning management system we call Your Growth Mindset. We're employing AI in creating learning modules for that service to our colleagues in the business for on-demand training. And so you can hear from the excitement in my voice that that is a very important part of our business. We are a people business. We rely on people, and therefore we have to spend a great deal of time on training and educating them.
That's clearly something that you've developed over 20 years of trading as well, isn't it? So there's some investment that's gone into that and some learned experiences to enable you to develop that.
Yeah, many companies, they look at the turnover in an entrepreneurial growing business and they get worried and concerned about it. But the fact is if you are an entrepreneurial business and you're growing from nothing to something, you are never, I say never, rarely going to find people who match the profile of the business. And therefore, part of your job as the entrepreneur is to be able to mold those people. You're never, ever going to find the perfect colleague to work with. Never. And therefore, the role of the business has to be able to train them, retrain them, in order to deliver what the business needs.
UK retailers are optimistic for growth. Significant innovation across the sector has enabled retailers to respond to changes in consumer shopping habits amid the rising cost of living. Businesses are focusing on data to better understand consumer behaviour and are investing in new technologies to ensure they are aligned to how and where their customers shop, whilst also driving efficiencies across their operations. Go to barclayscorporate.com and search The New Retail Reality to find out how UK retailers are adapting to keep up with changing consumer demands.
And Stephen, just thinking about that entrepreneurial mindset and spirit when you've taken the business through the last 20 years of stages of growth, the importance, as you've outlined there, of the critical success factor, I guess, of having the right muscle in the business for attracting, acquiring, training, developing the colleagues that will help that growth continue. Is it fair to say, as a piece of advice to those businesses that are embarking on that growth ambition in their own industries, that as a management team, you need to be brave at times and make those investments at times that are ahead of potentially where the revenue might land? Be a bit flexible about that. Be bold in your decision-making to achieve the growth, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That is absolutely correct. There are two aspects from my perspective. One of them is your own personal development as a leader. I would hope that when people look at who I was 20 years ago, they would see quite a different person. The ability to have a management team around you who is there to support you, who has thinking that will challenge you, who will challenge you when you're making those bold decisions of, is that really the bold decision that we want to make today? But inevitably, if the business is growing, you have no choice. You have to go with the flow. So there are times where we moved into new accommodation, which was clearly over the top for the size of the business. But when the suppliers turned up and had a look at the infrastructure that we'd created, it would be very impressive, which led to additional business. There are decisions that we have made in investing in the innovation services. We have a lovely suite of laboratories in this building, and we have a really fantastic team of research and developers. We have manufacturing services. All of these cost between $500,000 and $750,000 investment. And yeah, to make the decision, yes, we're going to do it, there is a certain amount of bravado. But if you have the right team around you and you have people supporting you, it makes the decision easier.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, you know, having that confidence that it will come, very credible basis, makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, you talked about your development as a leader then, as part of that journey, Stephen. I know other clients who have grown, one of their challenges has been perhaps letting go or trusting new staff, being able to delegate. I'm assuming that's from that little smile on your face, that was an experience you've shared as well, man.
A shocking experience, Ross. Thank you for reminding me of that nightmare. It is very difficult for an entrepreneur who is absolutely passionate about what they do and believes that they are the person, the author of the business model, then to realize that, in fact, you're not quite as good as you think you are, and to have people around you who will try to give you the advice and correct you and allow you to develop yourself is incredibly important. I can remember a time when that realization dawned on me that if this business were to grow, then we had to create a broader management team in the company. And then you're looking at a 5 to 10 year journey. And during that 5 to 10 years, you've got to keep the business moving. It has to keep growing. So you can't take your finger off the pulse all the time. But if you keep your finger on the pulse all the time,
you're not going to allow those people to have the experiences they need in order to grow the business. And so it's, yeah, it is really, really challenging when you're a headstrong entrepreneur. There are many companies in the distribution industry that end up at maybe 5 or 10 million, but they never get any bigger. And there is one reason for it, is because the owner of the company decides that they enjoy that lifestyle business of 5 to 10 million turnover, and it's fantastic for them. You know, they have a great time, they have good income, and the business stays at that level. But having come from a corporate background, the vision at the very beginning of the company was always to build a sustainable business across different market sectors. And that needed a certain amount of investment, and investment in self as much as investment in other people. You need to perhaps have a session with my family in order to find out how many tears there have been over the years, how many sleepless nights. But the fact that I'm sat here today and have a smile on my face says that, you know, it's all worth it in the end.
Thank you, Steve. And I think really sage advice, particularly for those entrepreneurial businesses at the smaller end currently of their growth story. So I think that's really helpful. Just expanding it slightly though, Stephen, having that kind of self-awareness, I think you're describing there as an entrepreneur, to be able to let go a bit, expand, listen to your management team. Diverse teams bring great ideas, don't they, essentially? But taking it outside of the company, what's your thoughts around the importance of external advice over the years? You know, whether that's from professional advisors, accountants, lawyers, bankers. What's your general view there when you're trying to achieve growth in a business?
From my experience, you absolutely need external people who have a better understanding of their own disciplines in order to advise you. I was lucky enough to be exposed in the corporate environment, in the corporate global environment, with lots of services available within the company. And then when you turn up as the single person starting your business, you remember some of those things, some of those discussions that you had. But it's very important to have representation from a wide variety of services to help you. I mentioned our recruitment specialist. We have a 19-year relationship. Our lawyers, we have a 20-year relationship. And I think, Ross, Barclays, we've been working together for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked after the relationship for just over 5 years now, but the main banking relationship goes back almost 15 years.
That's really, really interesting to hear in terms of taking that broader perspective, I think you're saying, Stephen, as you pursue growth through
the
years.
You know, we the head of our people success team, we worked with for 3 years before he came on board. And you need these people around you in order to be able to tell you the truth. No matter what haze that you think you're in as an entrepreneur, what dream world that you think exists out there, you need people around you in order to, yeah, talk to you directly about what is really happening in life.
It's been great to really hear about that last 20 years and the journey so far, from the very early days, the building of the team, accessing growth, navigating challenges globally, economically, as well as in the industry. And that you've still got a smile on your face, as you say. So you're in a happy place, which is fantastic to see. Looking forward, though, what's next for Lake? Where do you see the next opportunity and challenge for you as the head of the business?
So, Paul, I have to say that the only reason I'm here with a happy face is because we are managing to build an incredible team within the company. If it wasn't for that team, then I certainly wouldn't be happy. I would probably be run ragged. I would probably be working even longer hours than we entrepreneurs work. And therefore, that team is going to take us into the future. I'm not going to take us into the future. It's the team that's going to take us there. And we have built infrastructure and capability in the business in order to get us to our current turnover, which is around 26, 27 million. And with the infrastructure and the capability we have in the business, then that will continue to grow over the next 10 years. Whether we like it or not, the investment has been made and the sales have to be delivered. And because we have really strong strategies within the business, and if there's a piece of advice that is really been really valuable to us, is to constantly to be writing, documenting and evaluating the strategy that you're taking in the business so that you can review where you've come from and you can see where you're going to. And our current vision, mission, strategy, which is enacted throughout the business, this is one of the focal points of the business, is that we are all on this express train, we are all going in the same direction, and we are all putting our energies into achieving what the business needs to achieve. And so the team around us will continue implementing the business model as a specialty chemical distributor. We will be focusing always on selling the raw materials and ingredients of our suppliers, because that is our DNA, that is our core competence. But that ultimate customer value and ultimate colleague value, which has been generated over the years, is going to drive the business forward. And I would imagine that at some stage we'll double our turnover from where we are today.
And that's fantastic to hear, and a really, really uplifting, positive story. And I think what really resonated with me there, actually, Stephen, was strategy, vision is with every member of the 70 colleagues in the business. It's not confined to the boardroom. And that is coming through really strongly as a top tip, I think, for those businesses that are looking to pursue that growth.
Yeah, and the business has made kind of significant investment over the last couple of years. You're kind of looking to diversify into the manufacturing market, for example. And given the whole economic environment we've had over the last couple of years, that's kind of been quite refreshing to see, because a lot of businesses over that time have probably just tried to sit it out, just manage cash reserves. So again, it all comes down to that strategy and taking the opportunities ahead of you, really.
And Ross, I think you underpin a strength within every business, is that if you have experience of creating a business strategy as an entrepreneur, the business strategy for the first year is, my goodness, can we just make some money? Because of the gestation period in our business in specialty chemicals and ingredients, it took us about 7 years to make any money, because we were plowing all the money back in the business in order to seed the growth. But once you get the business moving, you have that strategy, you're reviewing it on an annual basis, you're having input from all of your team on which parts of the strategy are working and which parts are not working. And that does give you the strength, as you mentioned, of making those investments in difficult times. Because when I look at today at our business model and our strategy, I and the rest of the team, and I mean the 70 odd people in the company, are completely convinced that we're going in the right direction and doing the right things. And that makes those significant business decisions a lot easier than if you're floundering from one day to the next and trying all sorts of different unrelated things out in order to drive the business forward. So yeah, thank you very much, Ross. That's a very interesting perspective.
Well, I think your people success team would be hiring you immediately.
It's probably been the single most difficult, because it's non-tangible. You invest in the machine and you know what you've got and you know the output that you're going to get from the machine. But taking 70 people on a journey and hoping that they're all going to still be on that train and they don't get off too early and other people can join them and they're all working to make that train go faster is a real challenge. And having a people success team, we have 4 people in the team, which is a massive investment for an SME. It's far bigger than the investment of some major corporations when you look at the size of our company. And so it has been incredibly important to us and will be going forward. It's what makes us different to all of our competitors.
And you need different skill sets at that. If your business is 5 million turnover, it's 10 million to 15 to 20. It's different skill sets within that, isn't it?
Completely different.
Having the people that come along that journey, and not everybody does.
Yeah, and the people who joined the company when we were 2, 3, 4, 5 people who left the company, they left because they couldn't cope. They enjoyed working in that environment of 2, 3, 4, 5 people. They don't enjoy working in a company of 70 people where the culture is highly defined. They wanted to be able to shoot from the hip and do the things that they wanted to do. But today, in a company of 70 people, we have to have a certain amount of cultural uniformity in order to be able to take the business forward. If you lack that cultural uniformity, it's going to be very difficult for you. You need a common language. You need a common way of reacting to problems, of solving problems. And if you don't have that in a growing business, then you're going to be micromanaging it every day. And you're going to be at your wit's end. And you know what? We thank every single person that has worked for Lake over the years for their contribution. Some of them we've been able to give careers to so that we can take them on a journey. Some of them have come to the end of what we can offer them, or they've then moved on somewhere else. But every single person who's entered the company, especially if they've offered us challenges, we're really thankful, because it's only because of that positive friction that you get in the business, that you have a problem that you can solve. It's only because of that that the business continues to grow. If everybody's happy of the status of the business, then the business will never grow. And being able to manage that in a positive environment, we learn to succeed in the business through the experiences that we have, some of which are quite challenging. It's only because of that the business continues to grow.
That's fantastic. That's great. Thanks again for your time today, Stephen. What I'd really like to ask you now is, looking back in life, what advice would you give to your younger self?
So the first piece of advice I would give is to be patient, slow down, put more energy into those things that matter. Try not to cover the waterfront. Seek and take advice of others, listen to the advice of others, and take action on that advice. And most importantly, learn how to achieve through other people. I think that was my greatest weakness as a headstrong youngster. And if I had had somebody to coach me around getting more out of other people, because whatever came from me was going to come anyway, I think that is probably the most important piece of advice.
I think that's fabulous insight, actually, and particularly for young leaders, as you say, that are starting out on their leadership journey.
You want to prove yourself, and you want to show the world that you can do it and that you've got the intellect, the capability. But in the end, everything that you will be in your life is what other people will do for you and give you.
And if you were starting out again in life, you know, entering adult life, entering the workplace, however you want to think about that, you know, what would be your dream job?
So I'm a great Star Trek fan. I am definitely an explorer. I love traveling. And I guess being the captain of Starship Enterprise would be a wonderful job. And I avidly watch all things sci-fi. I think being an explorer is got a lot to do with being an entrepreneur, exploring the unknown, things that you've never experienced before. My entire career, jobs in my career, every 2 or 3 years I change with the same company for much of that career, but it's being able to explore new things. So yeah, being captain of the Starship Enterprise, it would do me fine. Thank you.
That's a great answer. And I must say, I'm very jealous of that. I would love that job too. So if you think back across, you know, your extensive career, both in corporate, being an entrepreneur, taking Lake through so many stages of growth, opportunity, challenge, and change, when you reflect back on all of that, what would you say was the biggest opportunity you've taken?
It is a personal opportunity, and that is the opportunity to jump ship from the corporate world and start the entrepreneurial journey. I believe, looking back, that my DNA always made me an entrepreneur, yet the stability that I craved as a young adult with a family in order to just take care of that family meant that I took a corporate path. And it took me something like 15 years of corporate life before I realized that that really wasn't for me. Jumping ship with a family, children, mortgage, and then starting this entrepreneurial life, I needed good people around me. And that's the reason why Lake was formed, with the shareholder team that it has and with the management team that it has. So I'm not a person who loves to take risk. It's always calculated risk. And dropping off the corporate world where you had all these services available to you with a phone call to being a single entrepreneur where you have nothing, you have absolutely nothing and nobody to help you, was a real challenge and yet a fantastic opportunity. And it's taken me on a journey that I would never replace. The people that have helped me, the people who are currently in the business, my family, it's just been a fantastic journey.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for that and all of your insights, and also to Ross. I've found it to be a wonderfully insightful discussion. I think the advice that is coming out of here for many people that might be listening around achieving growth through teams, I think will be hugely helpful to many people in many industries. So thank you very much again for your time today.
And it's been a pleasure. And I hope that everybody can enjoy the entrepreneurial journey that I've enjoyed.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to follow us to receive notifications of new episodes as they go live. For more insights or to find out how we can support your business, go to barclayscorporate.com. Copyright Barclays Corporate Banking, all rights reserved. Terms and conditions available at barclayscorporate.com.